to thy children, them that are far off, even as many as the Lord thy God shall call. May Heavenly Father, in keeping with thy holy righteous will, thou wilt continue to so preserve us and bless us, that thy church and people, while we live in this unfriendly world, will be favored to meet the heavens, that thou wilt so exercise our heart and soul by thy divine spirit, that we may not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but may be found, O Lord, seeking to know more and more of the wonderful work thou hast performed for thy church and people. O Lord, this morning, if it is thy holy and righteous will, would thou open the hearts of each one that is assembled here? O Lord, remembering this, poor sinner that is bowed before thee, trusting, O Lord, that we be truly one of thy servants that have been called to feed the flock of God, to feed the lambs and to feed the sheep. Thou wilt bless us, Heavenly Father, that we might comfort those for whom that thou gave thyself upon Calvary's cross, the ones that thou loved with an everlasting love, those that are assembled here today. O Lord, if there's one that has a dark head and a heavy heart, O Lord, in this our home with his people, grant, Heavenly Father, the divine leadership of thy Holy Spirit, that they may come home to their friends. For we believe indeed and in truth, O Lord, that thou hast prepared as a grand church, a meeting place, as a home for the wayfarer, those Heavenly Fathers that are brought to this place, that they have nowhere else to go. O Lord, not only remember in this way of mercy, kind and Heavenly Father, remember thy church and people universally the world over. We think of those, O Lord, who are in the hospital, at home and abroad. Many of thy people are undergoing circumstances and conditions that we do not even know about. Holy and righteous Father, thou art the embodiment of wisdom, nothing hid from thine all-seeing eye. Thou knowest what every object of thy mercy this morning stands in need of. For thou hast known that from all eternity, each object of thy mercy, we believe, treasure grace in thy Son, sufficient for every need, so that thou hast left on record that Jesus is a present help in the time of need. O Lord, go with us through the uneven journey of this life. May we ever be found, O Lord, with a desire in our heart to honor and to thank thee for the wonderful work that thou hast performed in the redemption and the final glorification of thy church and people. May we always, Heavenly Father, be blessed to earnestly contend for that faith that was once delivered to the saints. Again, Heavenly Father, we would ask thee to remember us even at this moment, and in the midst of thy service, O Lord, we come before thee as weak, penitent beggars at thy throne of grace. May Heavenly Father, each one be resigned to thy will, that we may say, not as thy will, but as thou will, that thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, and that forever. May we ask these all blessings in the name and for the sake of Jesus. Amen.
This is the will of him that sent me
raise him up at the last day. We notice in this particular scripture that I've just read, he said that this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now in connection with that, we would like again to read this verse for our consideration. And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned the Father cometh unto me. This is the language of the Lord Jesus Christ, expressing to his apostles, and of course left on record for the comfort of those who should follow after, expressing to them his purpose in coming into the world and for the comfort of his people who have been brought to the place that they realize that without him they can do nothing out of their own works, their own righteousness, the righteousness which is of the law, that they can in no wise enter into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And this verse that I read, which is the 40th verse, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him, everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him. Now we know that there's no person in this day that is able with their natural vision or eyes to see the Son of God. And yet that is necessary in order to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up again at the last day. Yet we believe that God has ordained that a certain people will be blessed to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet we do not see him with the natural eye. Something that is revealed in the hearts of God's people. You remember that the scriptures in reference to Jesus when he was coming into the world, he was to open the eyes of the blind that they might see. We have it left on record where he opened the blind eyes of people. We believe that, as he expressed it himself, is to manifest his power. Not only did he open the eyes of the blind, but he made the dumb to speak. This also is applicable to the Lord's people and their experience. Made the dumb to speak. Made the lame to leap as in heart. We notice that everyone that this was performed in and upon, they give God the glory. People sometimes think that this is a narrow and contracted doctrine, that it embraces everybody. But we would have to admit that the Lord Jesus Christ, while he was here in the world, that his healing, that the administration of the truth, as it was revealed to many, was not the same to all. We have read to you that the Jews murmured and complained. Not only did they murmur and complain, but as they sought to do away with the Lord Jesus Christ, and even accused him of casting out devils in the name of Beelzebub. And on this occasion, the Jews was questioning the authority and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to reveal this truth into a sinner's heart. And they said, is not this Joseph, whose mother and father we know? They could only see naturally, as we all do in nature. But there was a few that while he was here upon earth, that he opened their eyes and gave them to see and understand. As he did this man that was born blind from his birth. Jesus, as you recall in this particular miracle that he performed, that he opened the eyes of this blind man. And you know the question was asked him by the Jews and the Pharisees concerning this. But the first question was asked, who had seen, this man or his parents? And Jesus said, neither one has seen. This was done in order that the power of God might be made manifest. He said, which is easier, to say, to take up thy bed and walk, or that thy sins be forgiven thee? And this man, then the question was asked his parents. And the parents said that they feared that if they answered the truth, and this is a great mystery to us, if they answered the truth, that the people or the Jews would cast them out of the synagogue. In other words, it was then as it is now, that a person had to conform to the doctrine of men. And if they deviated from that, they would be thrown out of the synagogue. Because that was one of the things that must not be preached, must not be contended for, was the sovereignty of God. That he had power, and he did accomplish these things in the hearts of his people. So they said, ask him, he is of age. And they still was trying to accuse Jesus of being a sinner. This man said, it has never been known since the world began that a man could open the eyes of a sinner. Now I beg to you, accept that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. This man was blessed to see and understand that this was something that humanity could not do. He said, whether he be a sinner or no, I don't know. You see, he didn't know so much about it. He was the theologian. He couldn't answer all the questions. Neither can old Baptists today, those that have been taught of the truth. But he said, one thing I do know. He said, I was blind, and I now see. Many of the Lord's people, I believe today, in their early experience, realize that God has given them to see something that only God can reveal. We grew up, and talking about all of us, no doubt we grew up in a good environment. Many of us grew up and was raised with parents who believed the truth. And yet, with all of that, they were not enabled to give us eyes to see, and ears to hear, and a heart to understand. Don't you know today that if we could do that, why we start at home? I would first work on myself. Then I would perceive of all of my kinsmen. And then if I thought enough of other people, I'd start on them. But you know, when a person is in that condition, they're dead to the knowledge of the truth. They're dead in trespasses and in sin. They're without God and without hope in this life. They're aliens and strangers to the commonwealth of Israel. Therefore, they're not concerned about this. In fact, they don't even believe that a man's eyes has to be opened by God himself before he can see the Son of God. You know, we rejoice sometimes, and I believe every time the Lord gives us an eye to see and a heart to understand, and we look back to Calvary's rugged brow. And I believe sometimes in our experience of getting to visualize the sufferings, what the Lord Jesus Christ went through, that he didn't have a place to lay his head. He said the foxes have holes and the birds, the air hath nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He's a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. He bore the sins of the Lord's people. While he was bearing the sins of the church of God, he said, my soul is sorrowful even unto death. And what shall I say? The Son of God realized this great burden, and he realized that he had to taste that. He often spoke out. We think about and we complain about our little sufferings in our body. But you know, we don't know the very little of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. All that he suffered, and all that he went through, was not for himself. But verily there was no God found in his mouth, and he was the only beloved Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. Didn't have to do any of it if we were to use this in illustration of the wonderful suffering, the agony of death, and the burden of the sins of the Church of God was laid upon him. Even the law was in his heart. And it was testified of him by the prophet Jeremiah that thine all, O God, is within my heart. And he said, is it written of me to do thy will, O God? He takes away the first that he might establish the second. So everyone that is seen, then offering to the authority, according to the verse, he says, it is written in the prophets. Yes, God revealed it to the prophets that in this day they would all be taught of the Lord. Why did he say all shall be taught of the Lord? Why did the prophets say that? Simply because there was not a man upon earth, including the prophets, that could teach the Lord's people to know this truth. But the day that was referred to was the gospel day. The day in which the Lord Jesus Christ, having ascended to his Father, would send the Holy Spirit, quicken his people into divine life, teach them into their experience what he would have to know, and that is that they were sinners by nature and by practice. Not only teach them that they were sinners, but teach them that they were helpless within themselves. Why did he teach them that? Simply because he had no purpose from all eternity that salvation should come on any other way except by grace. You that I'm talking to today, when God revealed to you a helpless condition, your blind condition, your dumb condition, and your lame condition, being halted before God and couldn't even walk, you were just in that same condition before God revealed it to you. When the apostle said that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ come in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, if we were to judge him outwardly, we would have, and inwardly too, I will have that, we would have to say that there was a great difference in the man after God converted him. But bless your soul, he saw the same principles in his flesh. God had so far thoroughly taught the apostle that when he come before the people, an educated man, as we understand,
coming, he came not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and with power. And he told his people, he told the people why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now the Lord does that for his people. Then he said, not only must they see, but they must hear. Everyone that hath heard. I'm not worthy of your consideration only through the worthiness that the Lord has given me. But don't you know, my brethren and friends, today that the word of Jesus is being named throughout the world almost? Everybody is hearing the word of Jesus literally. But he said, everyone that heareth, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, cometh to me. Everyone that hath learned, have heard and learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Now he said, they shall be taught, every one of them, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, and great shall be the peace of thy children. So that we turn over into Revelation. John said that let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let him that hath an ear hear. And the scripture here that I've read, that the Apostle John said, everyone that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. So there must be a hearing. And if he says, blessed are they that hear. So we believe that God has to give them out an ear to hear. And if you understand the Father, why you must give a, maybe give a heart to understand. And the scripture said, everyone that has heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. And Jesus said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, but raise him up again at the last day. For this was the purpose that I've expressed to you in the scriptures, that was the very purpose of Jesus coming into this world, was to save sinners. And we must be learned, we must be taught that we are sinners. We must be taught that we need the sovereign grace of God that was given the church in Christ before they were begun. Let's see, when all these blessings was given the church, sometimes men will leave the impression and preach that these blessings that we receive in time are inherited by our own good works, and that we must put one step, we must make the first step, and then the Lord will make one for us, and that we must accept him before he can accept us. Why, bless your soul, the apostle said, in consideration of these blessings, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all, not just a part of them, spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. And we read in Jeremiah that he said that thou hast loved me with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. So the Lord in the chambers of eternity we would have this church was elected and chosen in Christ Jesus before the world began. And I'm glad to tell you this morning, my brethren and sisters and friends, everyone that was chosen in Christ was predestinated to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, and that according to the good pleasure of his own will. It was the pleasure of his Father, as we read in the beginning, when he caused the deep sleep of the fall upon Adam, and when he saw that it was not good for man to be alone. I believe that God from all eternity felt and in his love that his only Son should not be alone. So he gave his Son a bride, and this God created, even Adam, out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. Of God's love is from everlasting unto everlasting. And Jesus have come into this world, not on the merit of anything that you and I would ever do or could do. If it had been predicated upon that, why bless your soul, he'd have never come. And because of the Lord look, even at his own creation, and man of that he made, and he said he was desperately wicked upon that, of any of his creation. We were all sinners, and by nature, and by practice, he would talk about a reforming, in order to accept the Lord and be saved. Why bless your soul, you were born into this world condemned already, because of his sins. That was passed upon Adam, was passed upon all men, for all that sinned in Adam come short of the glory of God. You can live out so far as man is concerned. You can live a perfect life in this world and yet never reach heaven and immortal glory, because of there was nothing short of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the cleanse of the church of God. There was nothing short of a perfect sacrifice that must be offered to atone for the sins of the people. And when Jesus Christ poured out his own life, blood upon Calvary's rugged brow, and gave his body a sacrifice for sin, the prophet, and this was the warfare that I was talking about when he said, your warfare is accomplished, your victory is a pardon, and you have received, the Lord said, devil, for all your sins. I not only did forgive you, I thought about this devil portion that is given of the Lord's people. Bless your soul, he didn't just forgive you of your sins, but he justified you before our heavenly Father. A double portion, and this warfare, our accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Paul can say, thanks be unto God, who hath given us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not by works of righteousness of which we've done, but the Lord, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was typified back in the prophetic age when the Lord said, by the mouth of the prophet, a fountain shall be opened. He didn't say that I will try to do it, or he said it shall be opened for sin and for uncleanness. And this river I was opened, this fountain, and this fountain I was spoken of as a river, first to cleanse his people from all sin and all iniquity. And then what does it do for them? It makes glad the city of our God. In this river there is the streams whereof make glad of the city of our God. Aren't you glad today that God has given you a heart to understand that Jesus Christ has finished your salvation? And even when death comes, he's taken care of that too. He hasn't left anything unturned. Aren't you glad to know that God has given you eyes to see, and that you've heard the wrong proclamation? Because when the gospel is preached, it brings glad tidings of great joy to God's people. And in the gospel, it proclaims a liberty for the captive. It sets the sinner free. All in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the gospel is the power of God, and it is unto the believer. Those that have an ear, and a hear, and a heart to understand, and has learned of the Father. Why have you learned of the Father? Have you learned that it's a God that made everything, and by him all things consist, and yet he's a God of mercy and a God of love? Why, I could believe, that God had all power, both in heaven and in earth, and if I hadn't felt the cleansing power, you didn't receive. Why, even the natural life, God give it to you. The natural breath you draw, God give it to you. And every morsel of food that you ever eat, God give it to you. And I'm going to say, if you're able to enjoy it, God bless you to do that. And if you've ever enjoyed other fruits of the Spirit, it comes by divine blessing through the sovereign grace of Almighty God. If you love Him, it's because He first loved you. And if you love the Church of God, it's because God is in you. If you love the Church with the same love, and that God loves His people from all eternity, and because you were born of God. And to be born of God is to be born of love. And if you're born of this love, you love the Church. And if you love the Church, you love the brethren. And I look upon them not on any merits of their own. I know that you look upon the brethren as being a children of grace that have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and have been cleansed. And when you see the Church of God, you see her whiter than snow. All of the sins have been washed away in the blood of the Lamb. I believe what the Lord showed me 40 some years ago of the grand and glorious Church, I saw her, I guess, clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. She didn't need anything, and because Christ was her husband, and the Father loved the Son, and the Father had given everything that He had to the Son, and therefore the Son had promised His bride that I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll be with you all the way, I'll be with you in life, I'll be with you in death. Not only that, my brethren, but He will go over to sleep and death. He'll be with us on the morning of the resurrection, and we are told that they shall come forth. No baby is in it. The grave should give up the dead, and the north should keep not back. I will bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the four ends of the earth. They shall come, and because of the Lord Jesus Christ, I've bought Him with a price. Let me tell you, God paid for you, and He didn't pay a cheap price either. But Jesus said that He will not deny Himself. You've been purchased by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God has washed you a clean, white as snow. You know, in Revelation, and before I come to a close, John saw this church coming out of great tribulation. And when he saw the question was asked, who are they and whence do they come? And he said, they are the children of God, and they're they that have come up out of great tribulation, having their robes washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. They were ready to meet the Lord. Peter said, who were kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be redeemed at the last time. So they threw His church. I was coming up out of the wilderness. She's been, her robes have been washed, made white in the blood of the Lamb. And I want to tell you today, in my conclusion, that the Church of God is yet in the wilderness. I love the Lord is instructing her. He's leading her about. No strength God to her. And if you give your eyes to see, and your heart to understand, and your ears to hear, the glorious news of the gospel again comes from a far country. It comes from heaven. It's not a product of this earth. Never has man been able to sound one note of the gospel until the Spirit comes, takes the face of Jesus, and shows them unto the man that preaches the gospel, and unto you that hear it. But you know there's never been tongues set up in the world with all the blessings of God to express what is encouraged in the glorious doctrine of grace. But the Lord has given His people just a little glimpse of it. And as the Queen said concerning Solomon's temple, you've heard of it, but when she saw it for herself, she said, the half has never been told, has not been told me. You know, if you've been blessed to see the church, to feel it in your heart, and understand in a little measure what the Lord has done for you, it's never been just hinted at. You've never been able to tell it yourself, and you never heard it told. But deep down in the recesses of your heart and soul, I believe many times, in your lonely hours, you have thanked God for it. You render praise and adoration to his name for the wonderful gift of this dear son and what he has done for you and what he will do and continue to do until you become a joint heir with him in glory. When you have experienced the complete adoption as a child of God and made an equal heir with Christ in glory. You know, that's a wonderful position to occupy. And that's exactly the condition that the children of God are in. They have been justified before the Father, predestinated unto the adoption of children, and the apostle said we would receive the spirit of adoption. We receive the spirit of adoption when we are born of the Spirit of God. He said, whereby we cry, Abba Father. But we have not been adopted into the family yet, because we have this mortality, and it must change. But on the morning of the resurrection, I believe, when we are raised in fashion like the glorious body of our blessed Redeemer, will be when this wonderful adoption will take place, and we'll become a little heir with Christ in glory to inherit and enjoy just as much as the blessed Son of God. I know that we don't know much, but I believe one thing I do know. Every poor sinner that ever reaches that place will be taught in time that it will be alone with the grace of God. And they'll not have a single thing to look back and say, look what I do. Because to begin with, all of that thought is carnality, and it will be done away with. You'll only be possessed with the mind of the Spirit, you'll be in a glorified state, and all of this, the principles of the flesh, the carnal mind, our nature that we have so much trouble with. And I might say right here that the greatest enemy that we have is our own flesh. And we know that ourselves is the greatest enemy we have here in this life. But if one is blessed to see the truth of it, and that all of that will be destroyed. And I've thought about it many times concerning myself. And I know many others. I wouldn't say there's every one of you. You know, when a person dies, usually it heals everything that you may have ever held against them. It heals. And I wondered just why I couldn't manifest that spirit here. Have you ever thought about that? Take a person you never take time to visit and let them die. You'll send them a wreath of flowers. We'll manifest it after they're gone. Jesus Christ didn't do that. He first came, manifested it. He did the work, and then manifested it to his children. So a nature has always been way behind the truth, and will be as long as the world stands. We preach what Christ has already done, and the world is preaching what the Lord still wants to do if you let him. We preach the will of God is done. And I want to add this, and I'll come to a close, Lord will. The only people that have ever actually considered God's will is those who have seen that if they follow their will, it would be to their own destruction. When they come to that place and see that all of their will in nature is just subject to vanity, vanity of vanities and vexation of the Spirit, and that if we were to follow the dictates of our natural mind and our will, we would certainly go to eternal destruction. And it would begin with us in time. But the Lord, when he converts one, our will is swallowed up in his will. We're made to say, as Christ told his disciples, what a wonderful change had taken place through the consideration, or by the consideration of what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for his people. You don't find where that before Jesus come and established the truth and established the church that he was ever referred to at the present as the Father. Now I want to clarify that so you'll understand what I'm talking about if the Lord will. Before I close, The prophet Isaiah, in prophesying of the coming of Jesus, pointed to this day, that he would be called an everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. They didn't call him that then, but he's not dead. He should be called an everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. And after Jesus had come right down to where the church was, lived for her, died for her, and arose for her, he told his disciples, now when you pray, now, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The Lord Jesus Christ has brought about in the hearts of his people this wonderful relationship. And I often think about it when I bow to offer prayer. Whether or not I can say truthfully, my Father who art in heaven, I hope that he has been manifested to me as my everlasting Father. And if he has to me, and if he has to you, you know that he's a Prince of Peace and is an everlasting Father. Let me say this, if he's an everlasting Father, I want to know when he becomes your Father. People talk about choice and the election of grace. If he appeared to you as your everlasting Father, was not he your everlasting Father the same as he left you with an everlasting Father?